Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 8, A Fine Line. What you don't know can't hurt you.
There was something odd about Molly I couldn't put my hoof on. Maybe it was the way her ears seemed way too long and floppish, or that when she caught me staring at them, she immediately hid them beneath her black cow pony hat. In fact, her entire face seemed off, unlike any pony I'd seen. Not ugly, she was quite cute, just off. Her body seemed thicker than her height would suggest, and it may have been my imagination, but her legs were thinner and more flexible. She looked differenter than any pony I'd ever seen, that was for sure.
"Tell me,"
she said, trotting over to her desk. With the tap of her hoof, the Earth Pony flicked a small pair of sunglasses from her desk into the air, making them spin majestically before landing gently on her nose.
"What is a Mustang rat doing in my hotel? And please, don't lie."
I gulped. The spacious office was surprisingly underfinished in comparison to Roy Mustang's. The walls looked worn, the carpet threadbare, and one side was riddled with holes. Besides the desk, that was missing a leg with a stack of books substituting, the only furniture was a small chair the mayor sat in, and a dirty mattress off to the side. I wanted to believe I had found the mayor of the mansion, but given the room, I couldn't tell. She called the alehouse her hotel, but her apartments left something to be desired from a gang leader. Or maybe I was overthinking it. That would be a first. She was clearly Molly. Serene squealed behind me. Snapping my head around, I glared at the unicorn stallion foolishly trying to get Serenity to stand still. I took special care to memorize his face before another guard forcibly turned my head around with the butt of his gun. All her guards were unicorns. My shoulders burning confirmed that. But she was an earth pony. Interesting. If I were a smarter pony, I could have used that. Mustangs? I took a gamble. Not Mustangs. I continued feeling all the eyes in the room turning to me. Definitely a gamble. Finishers. Is it bad when some pony laughs at your lie? Because the yellow maned mare laughed far too hard for it to mean nothing.
No, you're not. For one, you're ugly as fuck and smell like shit. They have beautiful ponies only. Second, seriously, no. Nice try. Now tell me what that ass Roy is bugging me about. Is he still jealous as ever?
So I laughed back. Well, it was more of a smirking chuckle, but it got across my fake derision as best as possible. Mustang's an ass. Don't work for him. Finishers paid me. Not technically a lie, though I was getting tired of talking already. Even though I knew I was going to have to fast-talk my way out of the situation, I really didn't want to.
No, you don't. Stop lying, or you'll die to money never walk again.
The mayor said this with an offhand wave of her hoof. No.
Excuse me?
No. She just stared at me, bewildered through her dark glasses. She is my daughter, and you won't hurt her. She raised an eyebrow. Because I'm not lying, I added quickly. Photo Finney
is not so bold. She's many things, do not get me wrong, but she is not bold nor ever will be. This is a bold act.
She motioned to something behind me.
Not that it matters. I have spies around the moon. They have seen you working inside there. Little rats should not think to toy with lions.
Though her mane was golden and large enough to be a lion's, she was clearly not. I wanted to say she was a pony. There was something wrong about that idea. Good. I was meant to be seen. I gulped a bit before leaning in some, much to the chagrin of the two unicorns standing either side of me. Do you think only you have spies? Once upon a time, I met a little filly named Spitshine. She had played poker with raiders and always won, not because she was smarter or luckier, but because she could make the other players believe her hand was weaker, or stronger as it suited her, than it was. Pearly called it bluffing, and I think I was getting the hang of it.
Really? She laughed, leaning back. Okay, I'll buy it. Tell me, little fish-turned rat. What do the finishers, those paragons of fabulosity and beauty, want with a stallion like Roy?
In addition to my meager bluffing skills, I also had this plan ready in case things went horribly wrong, because, you may have noticed, things went horribly wrong often. It was a speciality of mine. Him, I scoffed. Behind me I could hear the weakened voice of Flair chuckle. To be honest, I haven't even realized they'd dragged him into the room, too. Nothing, his hotel, that's the prize. Molly, the leader of the Basies, hummed. resting her head into a foreleg.
So hard to decide, one rat or another. Still, a rat is a rat, no matter its mother. Tell me, my mysterious rat, who holds your leash? You say finisher, yet the finishers have no reason to break in. I assume Mustang, but you deny it on the threat of pain and death. Even more, your leg implies you're a friend of the ever-so-mysterious Mr. House. So what, rat? Am I to expect a squad of ponitrons to burst in, just so you can be linked with the Galicians as well?
Truthfully, I was not to be seen here, under screenshots orders. That piqued her interest. It was also part of my plan, using the finisher's second-in-command to make it seem like I went around photo finish. And before you get these crazy notions like I am not dumb as a rock, please understand that just because I am stupid doesn't mean I can't have bouts of good ideas. Also, the idea for a backup plan was Flair's. He'd even suggested the finishers as patsies and asked them for permission for me. Honestly, I was just taking credit for his idea. But in my defense, really, I want it to be my plan. So if you're laughing at me, please stop. That's just rude.
Screenshot? Is she in charge now?
No, which is why I wasn't to be seen here. So much talking. How did ponies do this all day? It felt like my tongue was going to fall off. I made note to myself to never let Flair plan plans ever again. I was to come here and verify rumors.
So that's it, little rat? You scurry my walls, then crawl back to your master and tell her I plan to destroy the Mustangs?
She grinned a bit too much for that.
And then she plans to swoop in and steal my prize from under my nose. Is that it?
Flair said from where he was being pinned down behind me. You don't get the prize. At least you won't, no matter how hard you try.
Oh, the Enclave Carrion wishes to speak, the mayor guffawed. Squawk for me.
You aren't stupid, and you know the Galicians won't let you control the Mustangs, Casino, or their assets. You're not the first to try and hold two blocks. The Galicians have always enforced one casino per gang. It keeps their enemies fighting each other, serves to stop ponies from rotting and rebelling against tyranny, and because they want it so if they're ever taken down, anarchy will destroy the city.
What? Does that make any sense to you?
I see the remnants scavenged enough to educate their members before running from the clouds like a scolded puppy.
I could almost hear Flair seething.
It's a shame. You're right. My grandfather tried not long after wrenching this casino away from its previous owners. Lost his life for it. I'm not one to make the same mistake and underestimate the Ponitron army.
She gave a quiet smirk to my right where I assumed Flair was standing. So, I said. I was getting close. I could feel it. All she had to do was take the bait. The delicious bait. You need a puppet. Some pony. Some ponies. Take over the moon while being in debt to you, right?
Right.
Yes, yeah, she agreed. Plan successful. Let's call for a drink.
But?
Celestia, please stop fucking me around.
I don't really trust you. This is all good in theory, and under the assumption you're really working for the finishers, and that they really want me to tell them how to run their shit if I get them a casino on the strip. However, it is far more likely you are a Mustang rat.
Lies. Lies and slander. Well, I nodded my head towards the door. Check out my ride, the Skywagon. In fact, photo finishes Skywagon. She hummed and hawed. Apparently I made a good argument.
Okay,
she nodded, standing up off her chair. Ha, that was easy. Wait, last time I thought something like that, my whole plan nearly imploded. I mean Flair's plan.
On one condition.
I blame my intelligence chip for giving me bad luck.
You have to fight for me.
What?
You see, while the Mustangs have hookers and drugs to keep guests entertained, the alehouse tries to appeal to more base natural instinct, the love of violence. To that extent, I turn trained dogs against each other, and ponies place their bets. Very lovely to watch. And it's never to the death, of course, but accidents happen, and blood is spilled.
Okay, I said.
Good. Because you don't have a choice, as I plan to make you fight anyway. Since maybe you're being honest with me, I'll only make you fight once, against the current champion, Tor. He's a lovely pet, truly, and gentle, too, outside of the ring.
She walked right up to me and reached up to pet me on the head. Really? One of these days I swore to end her.
If you win, you and your daughter,
I winced,
can go back to the Mustangs and find a door near the back of their casino. This door will lead you into a small alley beside the moon. You need to unlock it and tell me when this is done to complete the plan. If you don't, I'll kill you, but only after my stands have a turn to your daughter.
Can you set some pony on fire with a look? I tried. I bet if I was a unicorn, it would have worked.
And that's if you beat Tor. If you don't, I keep your daughter here, and you complete my quest anyway. Got it?
Yep, that was totally not gonna happen.
No pony can't say I didn't give you a fighting chance. Besides, even if you are just a Mustang rat, I have more than one way to skin a cat. So if you attempt treachery, it'll still fail.
Survive, I whispered under my breath. I had to remember that.
You won't survive.
Flair flailed around, gesturing wildly. He either knew his tail was on the line too, or he suddenly cared about me. Probably the first.
Did you see him? I mean, for fuck's sake.
I saw him. We were heading just off the theater stage turned arena. What was once a classy playhouse, complete with glass chandelier, had turned into a fighting pit. The stage had been refitted with a large steel cage in which, I assumed, two ponies entered and one left. Dramatic, right? In the seats, ponies watched two of their brethren pummel each other into surrender, all the while placing bets. The whole setup was made all the more classy by the bloodstains everywhere, and the remains of the chandelier smashed atop the center of the complex. And on the other side of the stage, hidden from the crowd but not from me, was Tor. Now, I have gone on and on about how large a pony I was, but this pony made me look like a foal. He was over a head taller than me, and so bulky I had to wonder if his mother was a minotaur. It'd be like if I started taking buck and didn't stop for the rest of my life, and even then he would have been bigger.
Fillies and Gentlecolts.
Molly's voice erupted from the loudspeaker as she trotted back and forth in front of the cage.
Are you ready for a fight?
The cheers from the crowd were almost deafening.
Today it's our reigning champion, the slow but steady Tor, set to take up his toughest challenger yet.
With that, the lumbering brute slowly walked his way onto the stage. It may have been my imagining, but the ground seemed to shake as he walked. Either that or it was shaken from the massive roar that erupted from the audience.
And his opponent.
He really did know how to put on a show. I gulped and turned to my companions. They weren't heroes, I realized. They were simply ponies. Who, for one reason or another, was stuck with me, following me. Even though I didn't understand why, I had to appreciate it. They were the closest things I had to friends since Stable 42.
Hide gun!
The small pink unicorn trotted to me, determination in her deep gray eyes. Yes, I said, partially drowned out by Molly.
The mysterious mare without a name.
Serenity looked down at her hooves before turning her eyes back to me.
Don't die.
I nodded and turned and exited my hiding spot to the roar of the crowd. The entire theater was only half filled, but it was more ponies than I had ever seen in one spot at one time, and they were cheering for me. Against my better judgment, I smiled and even waved my metal hoof menacingly before being rudely shoved into the cage. When I turned and saw him, I don't know how to explain the sensation as the yellow stallion glared down at me. The way he flicked his blood-red mane out of his eyes and whisked his tail as if about to charge, it made my chest tight, almost. It made me want to turn and run back the way I came. It made me almost feel as if I was falling all over again. Then it hit me, this sensation. I was afraid. I'd been afraid before of falling, and I was afraid of getting Serenity hurt, but this was something new. For the first time in memory, I was unhindered, uninjured, and facing another pony, and I was scared of them, fearful that they could actually beat me. I cannot explain how unnerving it was. The sensation tingling up my spine, making my mane stand on end. I gulped visibly as Molly spoke.
The current odds are 9-1 for Tor. Bid carefully, bid often, gentle colts. Who knows how long this match will last?
Thanks for the bout of confidence. I realized it then, as Tor lumbered above me, that Molly never intended me to win. This was just an act to beat up a rat.
Let the fight begin.
The crowd cheered one last time, then they were gone, and the world shrunk down to me and Tor. Molly, Serenity, the crowd, hell, even the stage vanished from my sight and mind. Slowly I strafed right, and the lumbering oaf followed.
Me,
he said slowly as we circled each other like chimeras circling our prey.
Me, Tor. Who are you?
I'm Hired Gun. I took a step back as my heart started pounding against my chest so loud I could hear it.
Me sorry, Hired. Sorry. You go. Bye-bye.
His first swing was slow and clumsy, but I couldn't move. My head started panicking and yelling, but I couldn't get my thrice-damned hooves to move. It was as if I was glued to the stage, paralyzed by fear. What was I coming to? Then I heard a voice in my head say, "Survive." I ducked. The blow grazed the top of my head. Pain flashed as I jumped back, but the sensation melted away. I couldn't even feel the blow. Not when he was coming at me again. Rearing up, he lashed out, but I danced backwards. Dropping back down to all fours, he charged me. Big as he was slow, and it was the easiest thing in the world to roll sideways away from him. I was until my metal leg didn't know the drill. The damn little thing got tangled up under me as I tried to get back to all fours. It took a precious second for me to get my hoof back under me. Too long. I didn't feel the blow, nor did I notice I'd been thrown across the arena, slamming into the cage wall before slumping to the ground. Next thing I actually remembered, I was opening my eyes to see Tor standing above me, one hoof raised. I was going to fucking die. Even a stupid pony like me could understand that. I tried to move, but pain lanced through my chest, burning and stinging like I'd been shot with daggers on fire. I rested my head back down and accepted my fate, until I caught a glimpse of Serenity standing beside the cage, tears in her eyes. "Don't die," I could almost hear her say. Tor's hoof came down and missed. I managed to squirt myself under him, his hoof slamming through the stage, temporarily tramping him like a rat. The raging pain sneaking through my chest didn't even pretend to go away, but I gritted my teeth. Monster or not, every opponent had a weakness, and under him I was in the perfect spot to exploit his. I squished his naughty bits like I'd squish a bug. He screamed and fell. I dodged his fallen body and scrambled onto my hooves. I stood wobbly as he dropped to his knees. There was blood on the floor, but I didn't know whose. I was going to win, though. I had to. With all the strength I could muster, I lifted up my hoof, and he kicked with his foreleg. I had to jump back to avoid it, causing pain to spike through my chest. It almost felt like my heart was exploding. Twice. Still, I kept on my hooves, even as he too struggled to his. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I could hear the crowd cheering, but they vanished just as quick. In a fight, there were only two ponies. Everything else was just a distraction.
"You," the hulking pony said, "you cheat. Me no like cheat."
No such thing as cheating in a fight. Shit! He charged full force at me, faster than a pony his size had a right to. Without even thinking, I stepped aside and lashed out with my metal hoof on his leg. The vibration of the hit sent shockwaves through my body as he tumbled and rammed headfirst into the cage. I turned to face him. My whole body was shaking in pain, and I could feel sweat drip down my face. I need to end this, I realized as I circled around him, but I didn't know how. I couldn't risk getting close as he was too strong by far, but I couldn't very well attack him from a distance. For once, I felt what it was like when regular ponies fought me. I didn't envy them one bit. He charged forward again. Quickly, I pivoted my body and bucked. The feeling of my hoof striking his face with a crack was nearly orgasmic. Until, of course, he grabbed my other legs with both forelegs. I felt the strange sensation of lift as my connection to the earth was severed, and I was tossed. This time, I felt the pain surge through my body as it slammed against the cage with an audible snap. I think I broke the damn cage. My body fell, but seemed to hang in the air, not falling the whole way. My eyes panicked, searching wildly as my whole body throbbed. If I was in a joking mood, I would have asked some pony to get the number of the tank what hit me. Instead, my thoughts consisted mostly of fuck, fuck, fuckity, shitty ass fuck, Celestia, fuck me with the moon or something, fuckity fuck. My skeletal metal leg was caught in a prong of metal jutting out from where my body broke the steel cage. Tug as I might, the thing would not break free. Worse yet, I could hear Thor stomping up. With my heart racing, my whole body throbbing, Tor reared up behind me, and I pulled free. The hoof missed. Instead, it struck the hole where my leg was stuck, and instead of being caught, the metal ripped and tore at his flesh like the cage was a monster gnawing on its prey. Score one for fake legs. I reared up and felt a tinge of pity as my hoof slammed into his face, ripping his cheek to bloody shreds as his eye already began to swell. By the time I hit him again, his eye was already swollen shut, and blood flowed down from his wounds, turning his muzzle into a bloody mask. I reared up again and waited. I was done. I had won. By luck or by chance or skill, I had him at my mercy. All he had to do was give up and let me have my victory. Instead, he stared me in the eyes.
No, me tor, me no lose.
The next blow rendered him unconscious, his hoof still stuck in the fence as the metal bit into his leg so deep I could see a slight glimpse of white bone through the wound. I turned to the crowd and saw them for the first time. Ponies of all different shapes and colors, pink and red and blue, unicorns, earth ponies, and even a pegasus or two. They were all watching Tor and I fight each other to bloody pulps, and they were cheering. These ponies didn't care about their brightly colored coats and manes. The only color they cared about was red. How could I have ever thought that these ponies were worth fighting for? They were worse than monsters. I gracefully strode out of the arena, a scowl on my face. Except that didn't happen. I tried to be all victorious and epic, but the result was more like me falling face first into the floor with an echoing thud and a resounding "Ooh!" from the audience.
That's it, fellas and gentle colts,
the weird-looking earth pony said, standing above my resting body, giving me a nice view of her rear. I mean her, not nice, more like pleasant. That's no good either. What about her tail? Her odd-looking tail. I didn't get a good look at it before now, but now I did. It seemed to be tightly braided with a little poof ball at the end or something. That was definitely what I was looking at.
It seems that the mighty Tor has been bested for the first time. An impressive feat, even for a cyborg.
That had nothing to do with it. My stupid leg got in the way more than it helped me.
Bet chits can be cashed into the box office in the back of the theater. The next fight is between the Batmare and Crazy Thunderhoof Facecracker at 8 a.m. Be sure to come early for the best seat. And in the meantime, feel free to enjoy our many amenities. The White Tie Restaurant is open till midnight. And of course, the buffet is open 24/7.
She took a deep breath as I slowly squirmed my way over to the cage entrance.
Have a good night, everyone.
Finally, the stage curtain swung closed, hiding my stupid mangled body before the gaping eyes of the crowd.
Well?
Molly turned to me with a smile as Serenity took a tentative step forward.
You horribly injured my best fighter. You owe me, you little shit.
Blinking, I stared at her, my mouth agape.
I'm just fucking with you.
She turned her head and gave a slight nod to Serenity, who quickly charged forward. Ow! I winced as she hugged me, pain skipping through my chest all the way down my spine. Not so hard. With a squeak, she jumped back and stared at me, a sad smile on her muzzle. Your face is leaking, I said slowly. For some reason, my head felt all wibbly-wobbly. I won, didn't die. Told you I would. Need a drink. She quickly wiped the tears out of her eyes and smacked me. What?
You've got a head wound. Drinking's the last thing you need to do.
No, I didn't. No, I don't, I said, doing my best to struggle past the pain and rise to my hooves, and failing horribly as the effort sent spikes of pain into my chest, forced me back down, gasping and wheezing.
Need a drink. Forget about pain.
Alcohol's a blood thinner.
So, I just sort of stared blankly at her.
It's just no drinking,
she said with a pout digging into her bag.
She's right, you know.
I gave my head a half turn to see Flair hanging upside down in the air snickering at me.
You're tough, you know that? I think I've only ever seen one other pony take direct buck from Tor and live. Never mind actually getting up.
I did not feel tough.
And that pony didn't even beat him. The only other pony would ever beat him was Sleekhoof of the Shadow Bolts, and that was more due to Tor being slow as shit. Yep, you're going to be famous for this. For at least a week. A week? I'm jealous, truly.
He laughed, doing a quick flip.
Let me guess, I groaned. You could beat him. Hell no. Are you bucking nuts? He'd have torn me to pieces. Don't give me that look. Just because I'm arrogant don't mean I'm stupid. And besides, I'm an explosive expert. You know, things that go boom. Not all this messy hitting and kicking. And just no. Besides, I couldn't stand being caged like this. Gotta be free, you know.
I'd no idea. I squeaked as something warm and wet splashed my head without warning, and it stung like fire.
What the?
I looked up to see an empty healing potion glowing above my head.
Ow! Why couldn't I drink it?
If it was any pony other than Serenity, I would have glared. Pouring things on the opponent's head just wasn't polite unless you warned them first. Already I could feel the wound I didn't know I had start to stitch itself together on top of my head. Serenity smiled at me in a slightly patronizing way.
"'Cause your ribs are all screwy.'
"'No, they weren't. Ow!' She poked them to show me otherwise.
"'And they might be poking your lungs.'
I had to use my usual, "'What the hell does that mean?' look before she continued. Flair just laughed.
"'It's like the healing potions don't move your bones around to nothing, so if they healed in their wonky positions, then they'd be poking into your lungs for the rest of your life, and that's... it's like deadly. I'm not sure, though. But you should see the watchers. They'll be able to fix them up right good.
Can I break up this little love fest?
Molly snickered, leaning against the cage, her black hat slipped to one side, letting one of her long ears poke out.
You're not going anywhere till you talk to Mustang and make up some bullshit to appease him. And don't think I won't know. You got lucky this time.
Kinda hard, I said before biting my lip and forcing myself up, when I can barely stand. The yellow maned pony just smiled at me.
I've gone through worse. Stop whining like a bitch.
Obviously, I glared at her, prompting her to wink under her dark sunglasses.
Find some way and get the fuck out of my casino. You know, before I regret my decision, I've killed ponies for smaller offenses than breaking into my casino.
She snapped her head and barked at the unicorns, tending the broken and battered Tor.
Hurry up already.
Right. I groaned as Tor was levitated out of the cage. Molly followed with a flick of her tail. Serenity, I need something. I wasn't quite sure what. Something for the pain. No way I was going to be walking out of here of my own strength without it. Then I remembered the two syringes of Med-X-1 confiscated from Flair back before the drug dealer base. Med-X, I said. Serenity sighed before levitating it out of my saddlebags that I had given to Flair to hold as I fought. A huge mistake, obviously, considering he was an addict and I hadn't found the time to sell the drugs I nicked off him. There was a sharp pain as the needle stabbed into my shoulder. A few seconds of nothing, and sweet relief. Pain washed away from me like a tide, leaving a lingering soreness, but nothing I couldn't handle. Flair led the way like he knew the place, which he probably did, taking us through a series of back hallways before emerging in the theater lobby from a door marked Employee Entrance Only. Serenity, for the first time in a while, opted not to use me as a taxi, given my current condition. The lobby had been beautiful once, with bright red carpets, gold inlaid wallpaper, and a marble staircase with gold railings leading up to the theater lobby. But of course, most of that had been destroyed, the carpet stained, and the wallpaper ripped. Though the staircase was reasonably intact, I couldn't help but wonder what the place looked like in its prime. No doubt it would have been a sight like no other. On the wall, there was a slightly worn poster behind shattered glass. On it was a single gray mare with a dark gray mane and some sort of large guitar thing leaning against her. I tried to imagine I was here to see her, walking in with a fancy dress on and sitting to watch some musical performance in a swanky theater. I tried to imagine I was in the past, in a place where we were still able to sit down and enjoy something other than mindless violence and sex, which was stupid. The past was never coming back, and imagine it never helped no pony. Med-X must have been messing with my skull. Moving on. The rest of the hotel was set up in a similar swanky fashion. Red carpets, yellow gold walls with lots of lighting seemed to be the theme. It was honestly a nice change from the moon, which seemed determined to make everything as dark as possible. I noticed at least two active restaurants, and the main casino floor had its own separate buffet table. I really wanted to ask what was with all the food, but chances are I'd just be called an idiot. "Congratulations on your victory," a voice said as I attempted to leave the Celestia Forsaken Casino. Turning, I saw a cute orange stallion with an overlarge cowpony hat. "You're great," he said with one of the brightest smiles I'd ever seen. Was I blushing? For fuck's sake, this was not the time for hormones. "Thanks, I guess. I mean, really, it was just amazing." Anyway, he scratched the back of his head with one hoof as his voice sort of trailed away. That was until the other pony manning the desk shot him a look and nudged him. "I mean, though, if you had time, wouldn't mind, you know, getting a bite sometime, maybe, with me?" Gulping, I did my best to force my stupid cheeks to stop burning. "No." I quickly trotted out of the hotel, pretending I was not just asked on a date by a cute stallion. I definitely did not run headfirst into a door labeled pull. I did not try two more times to push the door open, and without a doubt I did not blush furiously and storm out when I realized what had just happened. If any pony tells you differently, they are a liar, a cunt, and a liar. I need a drink. Which, of course, meant I was not going to get one for hours or days because Celestia hates me and likes to laugh at my stupidity.
I guess I was wrong, Flair said as I stormed northward up the main Dias street.
While the moon and the alehouse were technically on different sides of the same street, the alehouse bordered the Dias fountain near the city center, while the moon was the first thing you saw entering the north gate. Wrong about? I asked as Serenity just giggled beside me. Clearly she knew something I didn't.
Here I was, thinking you were a filly fooler. Wait for it. When in truth, you'll just fuck anything. I bet if I printed up a minotaur, you'd...
There wasn't any hope of ever getting respect. So to make my point, I kicked out Flair's front leg, sending him face first into the ground. Hate you? Flair just chuckled.
Where would you be without me?
Not here. I wasn't sure if that was a good or a bad thing. I really need to change the topic before ponies got on my case about how uptight I was. So as Flair jumped back to his feet, I asked the first thing I thought. What's with Molly? Silence. Serenity and Flair were giving me the creepiest wide-eyed expression. She looked weird. Her ears, they were too long. Her whole face was... It was...
Silence.
Flair and Serenity exchanged a look I couldn't quite decipher, and I already regretted asking.
She's a mule, Flair said in a hushed whisper, his pace suddenly picking up.
He took the time to look around and make sure no pony nearby was listening as we trotted closer to the moon before continuing. A donkey pony hybrid.
A what?
Could they even do that? The idea just made me feel sort of sick in my stomach. Either that or the Med-X was wearing off. Pain flared up, blinding me in agony for a second.
And please, Flair said as I bit on my lip to try to relieve the pain, don't talk about it in public again. She does not like ponies mentioning.
I reminded myself to keep that in mind as soon as I got some more Med-X. The elevator stopped on the third floor. Flair, I groaned as my new syringe of Med-X finally started to take effect. Put Serenity to bed. I quickly preempted her puppy eyes. It's late. It's been a long night. Sleep. She pouted and grumbled and agreed. Not that she was getting a choice anyway. Then meet me outside. I need your help.
Sure. Only because you didn't kill me for that filly fooler crack.
I pushed Flair out the elevator. I reserve the right to change my mind, I said as the door closed. He just sort of smiled at me.
Good night, Mommy.
I could vaguely hear Serena yell just as the elevator jerked upwards. It was then I realized that me and Flair were friends. At least I think we were, because honestly, I was not well versed in the whole friendship thing. But if we weren't, then we were the closest thing possible without quite crossing that friendship threshold. And I certainly wasn't thinking that to keep myself from thinking about the fact that the elevator, at any point, could suddenly stop working and plummet me to my death. One trip down a hallway and up a gilded staircase later, I was back in Roy's penthouse. Instead of sitting in his office, Roy was sitting on one of his many lovely couches, a mare on either side of him. I may have just interrupted an orgy, and I blushed a bit and walked in.
So I said to the bitch, if she can take my money, she can take my gun?
His eyes grew wide as I stood there before him. Bruises spattered across my chest, and my hair still steaming with blood.
Holy shit, I heard you got captured.
I did.
And you had to fight that monster tar.
How so true, I sighed.
What the fuck? Whatever.
He clopped his hooves together. Leave us, girls. Business matters. Shouldn't be long. With an over-exaggerated shaking of the hips, the two whores slowly trotted down the stairs. Seductively shaking their hips, of course. I wasn't looking. It was just, they always did. Roy, however, kept his eyes on their flanks until they left down the stairs before even bothering to address me.
Shit, girl, take a seat.
I did, flopping onto the couch. I leaned back, sighing as my injuries stung just a little bit. Above me, I realized, was a skylight. Beyond the glass was blackness. No stars or moon, just clouds and the never-ending darkness. I always found the night comforting back in Marefort. Infinite blackness in all directions but the very small candle at my guardhouse. I don't know why, but it relaxed me.
So, he said tentatively as I turned to him.
His fur coat was tossed haphazardly onto the floor, giving a good view of his flank, and by flank, I clearly meant cutie mark. I wasn't sure what a jeweled cane was supposed to symbolize, but it was impolite to question another's cutie mark, or so I was told.
What the fuck?
I told him what happened, about how the plan failed, we got captured, the deal, the fight, and all that. I even told him how I managed to talk my way out. So she wanted me to unlock your basement door, I lied. The sewer door. Then tell her for her to attack. Now before you get on my case for lying and breaking my contract, please remember his words. He told me to get the juice on what Mala was planning. He did not actually tell me to tell him. I broke no contract. It's not my fault he gave a vague order. Ha! That ass don't know who she's fucking with. Mustang will show her, he grinned. Go to her tomorrow and tell you did it. I'll load up the tunnels with so many mines she won't know what hit her. He grinned deviously. I wasn't nearly as confident. Even if the Basies had actually planned to attack from the tunnels, it was still a terrible idea to plant bombs under your own casino. You know, as a rule. My payment? I asked. You tell the bitch what she wants to hear first. Can't have you running off on me. Bullshit. I just wanted my gun. Whatever. There's no point in arguing. It's not like I actually done what he wanted anyway. Honestly, I expected you to fuck up. I mean, you ain't a very subtle pony, but it's a pleasant fucking surprise. If you thought I'd fail... Don't get uppity with me, bitch, he stomped his hoof down. I wanted you to succeed, but if you didn't, it'd send a clear message that I knew she was up to something. Hooray for being expendable. But you did it, or close enough. Mustangs aren't down yet, you can bet on it. I groaned, stepping to my hooves. My whole body was dull with pain, and even I could tell my breathing was labored. Okay. Where the fuck are you going? Watchers, I said, turning my back to him. Everything fucking hurts. If you got a Med-X, I hated asking Roy for anything, but I knew that last dosage was not going to last me the long walk down the strip. Huh, he said. I guess he wasn't used to being asked for anything. Sure. My shoulder burned, because I needed more pain, as he floated a couple syringes over to me. On one condition. I turned and did my best not to glare. I don't give a fuck if your fella wants to make extra cash or not, but under no condition do you ever fucking touch a client again, or I'll rape her myself. I was not in a pleasant mood when I met Flair outside the moon, and the stupid water fountain and the stupid horrors dancing in it did not improve it. I did not like being threatened, and I did not like any pony holding Serenity above me like she was a fucking bargaining chip. And yet every pony did. I promised myself to kill them slowly when given the chance. Hey, Flair said as I stormed past him, my rage and new syringe of Med-X masking the pain which still burned. Okay. He flew alongside me as I stormed past stupid civilians as Flair zoomed beside me. You said you wanted me. Are you okay? No, I was not fucking okay. Since sundown, I've been captured, interrogated, threatened, beat up, horribly injured, and generally treated like shit. No. Fucking hurts. It was true enough. The third Med-X didn't seem to help as much as the second or first. Better than nothing, but damn it, pain hurts. Walk with me, in case Med-X runs out. The walk from the moon to the Watcher's headquarters was much faster when running doped up on Dash. Walking across the city was just painfully slow, but running was just out of the question. Can I talk at least? He said, floating backwards in front of me. Sure, whatever. I winced as a sharp pain shocked through my chest before subsiding. Is Serenity asleep?
Dunno, he shrugged.
Apparently, he did not know how to follow simple orders. On the other hoof, I actually said put her to bed, not to sleep.
Last I checked, she was lying in bed with her eyes closed. You don't have to be so protective of her. She knows more about this city than you do. I mean, she was a slave before, right? She's tougher than she looks.
She was going to be a slave, but I saved her. Being knowledgeable and responsible are not quite the same thing, but I was too pissed to care. It's late. She's young. She needs sleep, I said.
Yep, and you're planning something.
I hated it when Flair read my mind. No, my plans suck, I said. I groaned and stopped for a second to admire the water fountain in the city center. For some reason, I really loved the statue of that stallion rearing up in the center of the fountain. I looked up at Flair. However, once we find out how much surgery I need you to go to the finishers.
What? Oh, yeah. The Basies didn't give the Skywagon back, did they?
I shook my head. Yeah, the chances are they'll want some sort of compensation for the trouble it's going to take them to get it back. Maybe I'll have to clean up another druggie, or sort out a Minotaur family dispute. Whatever it may be, I had to take the job. The finishers were the only 9 dicks I'd met since getting to that damnable city, and I wasn't about to break our relationship. Yeah, I said, continuing down the street. Exactly.
So why couldn't your filly come for this?
He asked, being careful to fly out of the way of the robotic ponitrons that patrolled in front of the Clips and Clops as we passed it by. She's not my daughter. Fuck, is that so hard? Seriously, that was just getting annoying.
Honestly, yeah, it's a little hard to believe, he said as I stared upwards at the Clips and Clops Tower. It always amazed me every time I saw it, rising up so high, shining like a pink sun breaking through the darkness. Part of me really wanted to see the view from up there. The rest of me wanted nothing to do with it, knowing that it was way too fucking high and it would end badly for every pony involved, mostly me, of course. Flair sighed, snapping me out of my trance.
You treat her better than most mothers I've seen. You might as well be a mother, he shrugged. She wouldn't mind it.
How do you know? I asked.
What? He smirked. We can talk without you. I bet I know more about Serenity's story than you, because I try to learn. She lost her parents when she was a foal, or she never had them. She doesn't even know. Watchers teach, but they never gave her love, you know. Can you blame her for wanting something to stick to?
What, are you a psychologist? I growled. I'm not her mother. Pretending won't make it so.
What's wrong with pretending?
Yeah, he wouldn't mind it, being a druggie.
I mean, fuck. Sometimes all you have is hope and imagination.
What do you know? I asked. He stomped down in front of me. Seriously.
Where do you come from? Some magical land where ponies don't die? Where life doesn't suck? Where you weren't living on the edge, wondering when the fragile piece would finally break down? Both my parents were killed by raiders. My brother was shot down and tortured by minotaurs when the fuckers first came here, and my sister was forced into prostitution by the stallion you work for. So excuse me if I want to imagine a better life. That's what hope is, isn't it? Imagining something better?
His idea of imagination was playing house and getting high on drugs, so no, I didn't agree with him. I pushed past him. I really don't want to talk about it.
Okay, whatever, he sighed. What have you got against being a mother anyway? From what I've seen, foals are the only things you don't consistently want to smash into a bloody pulp.
I started. Honestly, I had a lot against being a mother, so I kept walking south past the apartment complex the remnants called home before I answered. Difficult, I guess. Like...
Oh, is it some sort of history thing? Like your mother beat you as a child, so now you're afraid you'll follow in her footsteps?
I just sort of glared at him.
What? When I was a little cold, I was going to be an army doctor, specialized in mental disorders. I'm not as stupid as I look. Well, I never actually went past a few classes. When I found out I have to go to Flank Yard to study, I became an explosives expert. It also paid more.
Explosions paid more than a doctor.
Okay, then. But I have basic knowledge. So tell me about your childhood.
No, I said. The Watcher's Fort seems so far away.
Why not? You know that you don't have to be mysterious all the time. I asked Serenity, and she doesn't know what you did before you found her either. So what's the deal? You hiding something? Did you used to be a raider? Or, I have no idea, it's just...
He floated upside down in front of me.
Weird. You appeared from nowhere, save a foal, and then get knee-deep in manure and politics in a city you've never even heard of. You make no sense.
If I wanted you to know more, you'd know. I groaned, ignoring the fading effects of my painkillers.
So I never get to know?
Yep, I said. To my surprise, he laughed.
Well, it's your choice. Knowing you, it'd have to be something bad. And since you didn't kill me when you could have, I have no grounds to argue for more special treatment, eh?
I smiled through the pain, partly at whatever this heart-to-heart thing we were having, and partly because we had finally arrived. I trotted up to the Watcher's Ford entrance where two ponies stood, battle sails ready for any possible attack. Between them stood a huge, hulking, ominous figure of Ginger the Minotaur. Predictably, most ponies took a wide route around the fort, unless the Minotaur look at them. It'd be a sin. I trotted up happily. Oh, there was still pain as the Med-X neared the end of its effectiveness, but I knew it would not last much longer. Hey, I said to the guards. One smirked, so I guess he remembered me from the Dash incident. Lovely. I need, Halen.
I can see.
You!
Me?
It is you! No way!
I turned to see a sea-green older mare trotting up, her eyes wide.
Clean cut. He told me. Are you?
She gulped.
You couldn't possibly be High Gun.
I blinked a bit and nodded.
You know my daughter. I mean, you knew her.
My stomach twisted itself into knots. Who? I asked.
Her name was Lai. She went up with the caravan. Clean cut said you were there. When you had attacked.
Lai. How long had it been since that moment? I had tried so hard to forget about her.
Is it true?
Yes, I said, doing my best to avoid eye contact, but the mare was very persistent. When we were attacked, she died a hero trying to protect every pony. They took me captive. She was a good mare. The sad older mare just nodded at me. When I had the chance, I took revenge for her, for Lai's sake.
What?
My eyes shot up, meeting hers as she shrieked,
My baby died, and you think Maul Killen's gonna bring her back, monster?
I stood dumbfounded as she pushed past me into the Watcher camp.
So, Flair said from above me, more your mysterious past?
So, what seems to be the problem? I blinked at the doctor as I leaned heavily on the tent's cupboards before looking down at my side. Since the kick, the bruise had went from blue to red to a molted yellow that looked positively sickly. Oh, that! He poked it with a very undoctor-like fashion. A wave of nausea burst through me and sent me stumbling to my metal knee with a taste of vomit in my mouth. Does it hurt? This doctor, this Celestia is my witness. I'm kidding. Yeah, you got fucked up something fierce. I stumbled to my feet, glaring back at the black-coated doctor. I ain't shit. You're the mayor that fought Tor. Seriously? I nodded, hoping to make this stupid conversation shorter. Mr. New Haggis is talking about that. Shit, I mean, sorry.
Are you sure you're a doctor?
I growled between my teeth.
Yeah, well, mostly.
Mostly?
I mean, I'm getting my full doctorship in a few weeks.
He slicked back his long, plain white mane. Since I'm the new guy, they make me take the overnight shift. Shitty, I know, but hey, it's a living.
So, Tor. Damn.
You know they're still working on him. I raised an eyebrow. His leg got fucked. You did it. Oh, when they tried to move him. The way I hear it, somehow he lost a huge chunk of bone. Healing potions can't fix that shit. And we don't got the supplies. Best case scenario, he gets an augment or becomes a cripple. So, on top of all the other ways I fucked up, I managed to cripple a slow pony, thus stopping him from ever making a living. Well done, Silver. You're a real class act. Should go burn down an orphanage next. Oh, I said. That reminded me of something. In my... Pain washed over me, but I fought through. Saddlebag, some drugs, for payment. I was lucky enough not to have bet away the drugs I confiscated from Flair during my drunken binge. Hopefully that would be enough to pay for whatever surgery I needed. The doctor nodded and my shoulder burned and his magic running through my bags.
Wait!
A container of something was suddenly floating in front of me.
Is this Hydra?
The label thinks so. The doctor blinked before looking at the glowing container to confirm. Laughing, he patted me on the shoulder, sending spikes of pain through me. That time I actually did vomit.
Sorry,
he said as I spat and wet my mouth. The taste of vomit permeated every breath and made me want to puke more.
But seriously, this is Hydra, very rare.
The last shipment we got from Hovington was over a month ago, and not a single word on why it had been delayed. Okay, honestly, I didn't even know what it did. I only took it because it looked druggy.
Whatever.
He just sort of laughed. I really hated my doctor.
Okay, you first. Looks like you have some shattered ribs. We're going to have to remove them.
Why not heal?
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
The black-coated doctor gave me his very best smile, and I wanted to vomit again. This day was not going well, and it wasn't even over yet. Gentle winds blew across the field, making the flowers dance between the vibrant green grass. It was a cool breeze that just barely tussled my pink and white mane and tail. Sighing, I rested my head backwards and let the breeze wash over me. Above me, the clouds glowed such a vibrant yellow. They looked like they were on fire, like the sun was back. It took me a full minute basking in warm rays of the beautiful afternoon before I realized I was resting my head in another pony's lap. Rolling, I let my hooves sink into the grass before climbing to my feet. Before me was a pony with a red mane and a red coat. She gave me the same fiery look she always had, her green eyes burning with passion.
Good morning, she said.
I'd always wondered what heaven felt like. As I lay back down, resting my head on her, I think I got my answer. Drip, drip, drip. My eyes jolted open as something splashed in my forehead, just in time for whatever it was to splash directly into my eyeball. Squeaking, I sat up and shook the liquid out, letting the tiniest bit of it splash to the ground. When I realized what the red droplet was, blood. Against my better judgment, I looked up to the pony whose lap I was sitting in. It was still Wildfire, only drip, drip, drip.
Don't you still love me?
Wildfire asked, half her head a bloody crater from a sniper's bullet. The corpse gave me a grim red smile.
I didn't mean what I said. I only meant it wasn't your fault. Don't blame yourself. I'm sorry.
Her mouth moved slowly, but her voice seemed detached from the movements.
Just wake up, please.
Her voice whispered in my head, but the corpse's mouth didn't move.
Heh, I stepped back as memories of her voice poured through my head. Yeah, this is not happening, I said. While I wasn't looking, the plains had turned into a deep forest like the ones I had seen in books. Sunlight streamed through the thick canopy, dancing on the green, red, and yellow vines, but the corpse of Wildfire stood in the shadows, and when many of the forest bugs moved too close, they dropped to the ground and caught fire.
Why can't you just talk to me? Why must you always hide?
Her mouth was still, but the voice rang through the forest like a wave. Light burst forth as the trees around her caught fire. The smell of smoke and burning flesh filled my nostrils. Backing up, I hit a wall of trees I could not pass. Wake up, a tender voice said. Wake up.
Pleasant dreams?
My eyes burst open to see Flair's pink eyes right in front of my face.
You were blushing in your sleep. Were you dreaming about me?
I shoved Flair's face away. No, creeper. He nickered as I slowly rolled off the bed, landing on the ground with a thud. A dull throbbing sensation shook through my chest and back, but it wasn't that bad. Did you see the finishers? I took a look around at the hospital room. It was the same tent as before, only now a pile of bloody rags were thrown in a corner beside a bin of similarly stained scalpels. On one of the counters, a few empty healing potions were strewn haphazardly. He flapped his wings a bit before tucking them back in.
Don't you want to check with the watchers and see if you're fit to leave?
I shrugged. Well, I said, stretching a bit, feeling the strain of my tense muscles. Those healing potions really were a thing of beauty. I'm walking. Surgery was a success. Removed ribs, I think. I turned to where the bruise had been, but it was completely gone now, save for a small off-colored patch of my coat. Magic. Who would have thought? You couldn't even see the scars. Been out too long, I said.
Like 4 hours total, considering you just had surgery.
Too long, I said. Some medics and I'll be fine. Just a bit to remove the pain. Still had work to do, I said, under the assumption the finishers did in fact have work for me. I just sort of assumed ponies were going to get me to do their dirty work. Flair looked at me with a pained expression before rolling his eyes and looking away.
Whatever. Clean Cut came here personally to tell me to stop you from doing something stupid. But whatever. Not like I could stop you if I tried.
Nope.
You're popular, by the way. Since I got back from the finishers, Clean Cut came to visit. And then that mare that flipped out at you in front of the gate. And then some pony who heard you were a mercenary wanted you to take a job in some fucking desert to the northwest.
He told him to fuck off, I presume.
Course, he bowed elegantly, his outstretched wings knocking over an IV rack. Meant to do that.
Totally, I said. Suddenly, and without warning, my head was swimming with stupid emotions. Listen, I said, be prepared for something stupid. About before, I'm sorry for getting mad at you.
That's right. I just apologized. Seriously. What?
He looked at me, his eyes wide in shock, almost if he couldn't believe it.
Right. Me too. Don't worry. Come on, he said, flying out of the tent. The finishers want you as soon as you're ready. And, fuck it. You said you're ready, so you're ready.
Camp was silent as death. We tiptoed our way to the gate and slipped past the guards with nary a nod. Now, I could bore you with a long, painful description of our walk north from the Watcher's Fort to the main Dyke's Gate into Parasite Mound and the Finisher's headquarters. Hell, I could even give you a word-by-word of Flair's thrilling recount of the Battle of the Song, a name apparently made up by a guitarist 10 years later, I should add, where the Basies took over the alehouse in the middle of a concert. But I'm far too nice to make you suffer through that. To keep things short and your mind focused, let us say it is not important. After a long walk past the creepy ponytrons, we made it through the Dyke's Gate, through the blackened streets of Parasite Mound, where I could feel the eyes watching me from the darkness, piercing my coat and making me shiver. How I hated Parasite Mound. Also the name. Such a stupid fucking name. There it was, the Finisher's headquarters, shining brightly through the dark town like a miniature sun. No pony would dare attempt anything close to Phono Finish's eye. Groaning, my teeth fumbled with my saddlebags before pulling out that last syringe of Med-X and stabbing it into my shoulder. There was a sharp pain, and then sweet relief. Flair gave me an odd look before pushing through the doors of their office, blinding me with light.
You are late. The foot to finish. She does not like to wait,
said a red pony, dialed up like the finisher's usual striped dress and sunglasses. Screenshot, I nodded politely. Sorry, my chest was opened up, and bones were removed. There was a split second of revulsion on the pony's face before she quickly shooed it away.
How horrifying! No matter, the great tooth to finish awaits!
She lifted a hoof into the air.
We go!
And was off like a bolt of lightning. Now, the last time we went through this, I had to chase her up 3 flights of stairs. This time, she burst through the nearest door. I followed in a slow canter, walking into what appeared to be a small theater. Strange music blared over the loudspeakers, and various circular tables were scattered across the room. Starting at the far end and stretching outwards was a long, crudely made catwalk, half covered by carpet, with a single sultry mare trotting down the runway, spinning in front of Photo Finish at the tip of the catwalk. Photo Finish sat with a stern face, sipping on some sort of pinky drink. I really hoped it was alcoholic and I was allowed to have some.
Sit, she commanded. These recruits,
she shook her head as I pulled up a chair.
No, it's just no.
Her magic flared up as she levitated her drink to her lip.
No class, no style, no, no, no. Where's the magics?
As the next sultry mare trotted down the catwalk, wearing what could only be called a dress by the strictest of terms, I really didn't see much of a problem. Drink? I asked.
Yes.
For some reason, Flair chuckled beside me. Not unsettling at all.
Now, now, hired gun. We are nice ponies, yeah? We help ponies, and moreover, we do with all our strength to keep the streets safe. We have been nice to you. I, Photo Finish, have been nice. Now you get us into a tricky situation. A tricky, dangerous situation. So what do you say?
Sorry?
Yes, that is a start. Not enough.
Was it ever enough? Sighing, I leaned back and kept my eyes focused on the stallion sauntering up the aisle in a skimpy dress. Par for the course for the finishers. I was just trying to make myself seem calm during negotiations.
Sorry is not enough. Compared to negotiating with the bases for our stupendous and marvelous flying machine, and having to pretend to work for those...
Visible disgust was on her face. You don't like the bases, I said, as my pink drink finally arrived. I quickly picked it up and downed the sweet taste of nectar with great pleasure. It was fruity with just the barest hint of alcohol, but that hint was enough, especially when they poured me a second.
You know nothing. They? A dress is only as dazzling as its wearer. Molly. That Molly. She is the problem.
I raised my eyebrow and she just sighed.
It matters not. What matters is that we cannot become her thrall. I, Photo Finish, cannot allow it. If she kills those despicable mustangs and lifts us up in his seat, then our power will exist not for real, but as an imagining. No, we cannot.
And you can't tell her no. We both shot a glare at Flair, who was leaning back in his chair, his yellow mane messily covering his eyes.
What? It's true. Molly don't like being told no, and the Finishes would not stand her wrath. I heard when she first got the job, one of her underlings had the gall to call her a mule like she is, and
shut up. I turned back to my drink. The third one. I couldn't remember I finished the second one, but it was delicious. So, what do you need?
The Galatians need to be informed. Alas, it cannot be I who tells them. They have no love for the Finishers, and the hag would not trust the great Photo Finish. So I need another. One who can be believed.
The music stopped, and the last model disappeared through the curtains at the end of the stage. Me? I asked.
You. I, Photo Finish, said you will be outshining star across the east. And Photo Finish does not lie. You are known to have fought against Tor. You are known to work with the Mustangs. You are believable. And frankly, you look not smart enough to lie.
I could so. I lied all the time. Okay, so I have to speak with... I had no idea who was the leader of the Galatians. I knew Roy ran the Mustangs, Mile the Bases, and House was House, but the Galatians were a mystery.
Granny Dynamite.
Really? Her name sounded even more fake than mine.
But first...
She clapped her hooves together. Suddenly, at the end of the stage, the curtains pulled open with a blare of music and a flourish. On the end of the stage, surrounded by the models, was a brown wooden circular structure. When a model tapped it, it swayed and drips of water splashed over the top onto the stage. Soapy water. My face paled and I turned to Photo Finish. What is this?
A bath.
What?
Your friend, Mr. Flair, thought you might not go willingly.
Seriously, what?
You are going to go as my envoy, a disciple of Finish, to speak with my Photo Finish's voice under Screenshot's guidance.
No, this could not happen.
You must be clean.
No fucking way. I tried to lift my hoof at her. Tried. Blinking, I looked down as it wobbled and did not respond. My eyes darted around the room, landed on the 3 drinks before me. Dude, did you drug me? Photo Finish gave the daintiest of nods. Around me ponies surged, tugging and pulling me closer to soapy doom. Take off or cybernetic.
Yeah, it's not supposed to get wet.
Guns too. Ew, what did I touch? There's something living on her.
Is it supposed to be that color?
Maybe her cutie mark is dirt she never scrubbed off. His eyes dragged closer and closer. The one word I could think of was survive. But there was no way I was surviving this.
Footnote. Level up. No new perks or stat milestones. Wow, you suck.